I'd like to call the Board of the Dallas City Council budget briefing meeting on Monday, September 19th, 2011. It is now 9:06 a.m. Good morning to all. We have a special guest today who came bearing gifts, which with the food, we always like that. In celebration of this weekend is the Greek Food Festival. We've invited Father Christopher Constantinides with the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Dallas to perform this morning's invocation. This year's Greek Food Festival is set for Friday, September 23rd through September 25th. The weekend is fun of full of fun-spirited and a lot of heritage from the Greek side. If you haven't been, it's one of Dallas's great experiences in culture and faith. So thank you, Father Chris, for being here, and please come forward and give us your invocation.
Almighty and gracious God, we ask that you remember our most faithful and pious city council members, which you have counted worthy to be appointed over this city of our Dallas. Crown them with the armor of truth and goodwill. Overshadow them on the day of battle. Strengthen their arm, exalt their right hand, and establish their power. And grant to them deep and undeprivable peace. Speak good things to their hearts about all your houses of worship and all your people, so that within their peace we may lead a calm and quiet life in all piety and dignity. And we ask this in your name, for your name is holy, both now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we wish you a very good day and a very productive day, and truly we do invite you all to come and join us at the Greek Food Festival this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Enjoy your little treats that you have this morning with your coffee, and there's some tickets for you there to come. And if you do come, please get a hold of us at the church so we can get you in without having you have to wait outside at the door and take care of you. Thank you so very much, and have a wonderful day.
Pastor, would you give us the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Coop?
Father Chris, thank you. Well, everybody knows Father Chris, because if you have not been to the Greek Orthodox Church during this festival, they are so gracious there. We really appreciate every year you bring us this, and we appreciate the fellowship we have at the church when you invite us to go. I know you've invited all the council members at one time or another just to come by and see the church. If you haven't been inside the sanctuary, it's really a beautiful sight to see. Yes. It's very unique, and it has a very unique story, and so it's great having the Greek Orthodox Church in your district, because they love to cook, and there's always lots of food, and there's a lot of merriment there. So we so appreciate you, and Kenny Yampana is here as well, and she always makes sure that we're all well taken care of and understand, you know, a lot about the Greek culture. They're very pleased. They're always very happy to share that with you. And I've learned a lot about the Greek culture over the last several years of being a council member there. So thank you. And by the way, just so everybody will know, yes, they are tearing up the street in front of the church. And we promise you it will be done before Carmageddon comes on Friday.
Well, as you know, it'll be quite busy. But we do thank you, the city council, for your support and everything that we work on. Like now we're working even with that bike path back on the side of the property that's going to go up towards Spring Valley and what have you. So we thank you for your support and everything that you do for us. And again, we truly do welcome you. And like Linda said, to come and see the sanctuary. It's a Byzantine style sanctuary. It's very unique to most people, but it's very common to us. We're very familiar with these things, but it's something beautiful to see, and really shows what we're all about. So again, enjoy your day. I hope you have a productive day, and thank you so very much for allowing me to be part of this morning for you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Also, thank you for coming out. Like I said, you've never been to a Greek food festival. It's a treat. I'd also like to thank my baby sister, Tina Young Thomas, for involving us every year about the great food we have all the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Father.
As you know, Greek people, the mainstay of us Greek people is our kitchens. If you don't have, I don't care what kind of a house you have, if you don't have a good kitchen, you're in bad shape. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. And I think it's appropriate. Our first item is our budget amendments, and I'll remind everybody that Father Chris used the word pious next to us. So let's take that. Pious. He called us pious, and so I think that's appropriate. Okay, so let's talk about our budget amendments. I think we want to do this. Ms. Soon will kind of walk us through the process, and then I'll kind of talk about the agenda items.
What we're asking you to do today is take straw votes on the various amendments that you have proposed to the budget. After these straw votes, we will reconstruct the budget around those straw votes and have it ready to vote for you to vote on finally a week from this coming Wednesday. So that's what we need your guidance for today, so we can restructure as you direct.
Thank you, Ms. Soon. So we've got seven amendments. What I'm going to ask for is for us to consider amendment number four first, and I'd ask Ms. Medrano to lead that effort. So, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. On page number four, if we'll start on page number four, that is the what I call the ombudsman amendment. If you go to page number three, it is included in that amendment in page four. Also, two, if you'll look at number two, it is also included in the abundant amendment. And number one is more of a directional for the city manager. And I'd like to
I think you've got those. One and two. I think it's one and two are part of this, and three is separate.
Hold on just a minute.
I'm reading it right.
I'm sorry, yes. Two and one are part of the amendment. Number three is more of a directional.
We're going to take three into consideration after we do this.
More of a directional for Ms. Sim. I apologize for that. Page number five, I will ask either Councilmember Griggs and Hunt to go over their amendment. Page number six, again, Councilmember Hunt, Griggs, or Grayson to go over theirs. And then on page number seven, for Mr. Gadane to go over his.
Okay. Thank you. So let's consider item number four.
Yes, I would move to approve that. Second.
We have a second from Ms. Margolin. Let's make sure we, before we take a straw vote, this is the time to ask any questions. Make sure that there's any information that the community needs. Make sure we're open and transparent about that. I'd love to do that. Mr. Atkins.
Mary, I guess on page one, the use of funds. Sustainable development construction add two positions for this position. Could you tell us what exactly those two positions would consist of?
These are two planners that will work on the items that the council directs, PIDs and SUPs for the council areas. So we do not have staff for that right now, and you have indicated to me that you have some concern about that. And this is the staffing for that. We do not have any staffing allotted for that.
So, in the current budget, we did not have staff to that?
No staff at all. We did it if we had any leftover staff time, which we usually did not.
So for the last, for the last two or three years, did we ever have staff to do that?
We had some staff had a little extra time, they would work on it, but there was no focus on that.
So right now, how soon will those two positions be filled?
Quickly as we can, but it could be as long as a month.
Well, and one thing I don't want to have, Mary, when we approve a budget In certain cases, we'll go through the civil service, and sometimes take a month, sometimes take 2 years to get there sometime. I'm trying to make sure that once we approve it, we should have someone in the pipeline to go there. I mean,
well,
that's my main concern.
Well, do it as quickly as we can.
Yeah,
on your agency.
But not to be all remembered, but my concern is, number one, that every time we add two positions, add some to staff, the civil service employee, it's going to take a long time before the person gets hired. And then right now, we are suffering because it takes a long time to get positions. I'll get to bring to your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mayor. Because there are people who are attending today who are interested in different things, I just wanted to point out that this amendment contains a number of different items, including two positions for authorized hearings, as was just said, $140,000 for library materials, a restoration of the 10% in cultural programming that had been cut, which is $296,169, and $153,500 for the AT&T Performing Arts Center, among other things.
Thank you very much, Ms. Margolin. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, I wanted to point out for the council and for the public that this amendment also includes a partial restoration for the Fruitvale Recreation Center. Fruitvale is slated to be closed, however, in that area. The Recreation Center at Cummings is closed at the present time, and it would leave this particular area, and this is in my district, it would leave them without a rec center. This does not totally restore what is there, but this will restore the funding that takes care of the children's after-school programming and the senior early morning programming, and I would urge you to support that amendment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Yes, Ms. Hotwell.
Thank you, Mayor. One last comment on line item 10. We are funding swimming pools and park and recreation at $150,000. We think we can do five pools with fewer hours for the $150,000. So I urge your support for this entire schedule here, and thank everyone for working on it. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I just had a question about the pools. Just so I understand, we're talking about the five pools. Those would have different hours, not all of the pools across the board. Okay, fine. Thank you. Very good.
Any other questions, thoughts? First of all, I think, I'm sorry, Ms. Coop.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't point out that it does restore one mandatory leave day for our employees, and that recognize that they've been working very, very hard over these past several years, especially during budget cuts, that they've lost, that they've been under eight furlough days. I think this brings us to four.
In addition to that, Ms. Coop, I believe that Ms. Sim has mentioned that it's actually one more day of service to our taxpayers as well. So it's good for our employees, but it is also good for our city as well.
All right, good. Thank you. That was the point I was going to point out. Fortunately, the $1.7 million in revenue helped us to listen closely to all of our town hall meetings. There was a lot of advocates for libraries, the culture, the Latino Cultural Center was important, senior services, and in the pool. So I think I went to every district, so I think we've covered all the areas that people talked about most. So thank you, Council, for doing this work in that regards. And I want to underline Ms. Coop's point of view. This city can only accomplish what we need to is if our staff and our City Hall employees are engaged and excited, and I want to make sure we give back to them what has been taken from them over the years as fast as we can. So I think this is a great move, and I want to say I appreciate all the work that they do in that regards. Okay, so what I'll do, we've got a kind of a motion in a second for a straw vote on this to instruct the city manager to go back and put a budget with this. with no other further discussion, I'll see a show of hands that are supporting this amendment. Okay, any opposed? Okay, thank you. And so, Ms. Soon, would you work to do that? All right. So next we move to item number 3. Let the record know that there was applause for the City Council and its staff. Okay, let's move to item number 3. Who should we recognize? Ms. Hosto?
Yes.
Page 3, not item 3, page 3.
Yeah, this amendment is restoring, using the funds to restore community courts in West Dallas. They were originally set to be on the chopping block, and my comment and my concern here is that in a city of 1.2 million people, we need to continue to not only add to this program, but hopefully expand it into other areas. So thank you, Mary, and I will be hoping that you can support this amendment. Thank you.
Let's clarify, this is kind of a strategic imperative, right, that we're going through?
This is instructions to extend this funding that is left in current CDBG to continue during the next year. It's a little bit out of cycle, but this is an instruction for me to do that as we move forward. So.
Okay, thank you. Let's turn to page... Oh, yeah. So, excuse me. We've got a motion. Is there a second? Okay. Show of hands. Any discussion on this? A show of hands supporting this? Okay. Anybody opposed? All right. We have that. Item number 5. Mr. Griggs?
Thank you, Mayor. The thought behind this was I've been visiting with staff about this, and if we're going to implement any water change with respect to our tier, staff says we need 6 months to implement the changes. And right now, we have a four-tier structure that hasn't been updated since 2001. So we've had our usage patterns over the past decade have changed, and we have four tiers and haven't changed it since 2001. And what we have, if you look at these tiers, is 10% of our residents are using one-third of our water. So I think we need to, in the next year, address these tiers, and we need to put in a change. So this amendment is almost more directed to doing this in the next year and implementing it before the next budget. Since I could have Forrest up here, talking to Forrest, he indicated that any changes would take 6 months, and if we do put in a seasonal surcharge, which was item 1 up here, then we wouldn't be able to follow it up with a re-tiering. So if I could amend this a little bit, it would be to examine a seasonal surcharge as well as put in new tiers, and to get it done in this next year to look at it so it can go in place in the next budget. So it's with the education that will be needed in the outreach. These changes would take possibly 6 months to go through. Is that correct for us?
At least 6 months. Mr.?
Yeah, that's... do it in a year is a better idea than right away. Yes.
And essentially, our tier structure right now is our largest crop in the city of Dallas is St. Augustine grass. And the current tier structure is really subsidizing the growth of St. Augustine grass. Which we've got 10% of the users using 30% of our water. So I think it's time we take a look at this. It's been 10 years.
Okay. Mr. Atkins?
Well, I do understand, the water. We are one of the cities that look at a 50-year water plan. It's almost come back to 2 or 3 years ago while we're talking about storm water service, that in my district, we are blessed that we got many residents that had a whole lot of land. And but for the resident to to be suffered to pay a higher price because of the 15,000 gallon water. I think that we need to, I need to do, go back to my resident in my area to see what cost of the water bill. Two or three years ago, as you know, that when we had stormwater drain, my resident water bill, that if they had 3 acre of land and their water bill was $20, they were paying $55 a month for stormwater fees. And that was not fair because they had blessed the land. And to increase this to the resident, you know, it is their commercial, but I need to go back and really look at a resident and have staff to go back and see what is my resident using, because we do have quite a bit of land in my district. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. I agree that conservation and I think staff has done really a good job in promoting water. We've seen that, have we not, Mary, year after year with the...
Yeah, our water usage is decreasing along with the conservation program, yes.
And then, so I think this is probably something that needs to be looked at, but it's so important that I would... ask that we look at it more in detail and holistic instead of just during a budget amendment situation. So it needs to be looked at, reviewed, and also this goes back to the state level, how we present ourselves at the state, because that's our issue is again fighting the rural areas and such, and how we present. So I would much rather, I think we're headed in the right track, and this is a decent amendment, I wouldn't be able to support it. I would rather see a much more detailed discussion along with this.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. McGrawlin.
Thank you. I want to echo what Mr. Allen just said. Clearly this is not simply a budget item. It's a policy issue. And I think we need to, if we want to look at it, that's fine. But we also need to include any research that's been done to determine whether increasing costs really does decrease usage. And I don't think we can sit here and presuppose what the outcome to that answer is going to be. So anyway, I wouldn't support this today, but if we want to take a look at it, that's fine.
Mr. Cadet?
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with Ms. Margolin, and what I want to see is more detailed study on it, and it will come back to us before anything's voted on, correct?
You'll vote on it. You'll be the one that decides. So we'll bring
it. Whether you do it or not. So that's what I just like Mr. Allen said. I'd like to see what and where it's coming from, because there are people that do have to have water, I'm sure, and they are paying for it. So I've just got to look at it to see if we're going to charge them more just because they're using more. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop.
Yeah, I would like to look at it outside the budget structure. We did take a look at it a few years ago. I don't think it's been 10 years that I can remember since I've been on the council. We've taken a pretty good look at it, and didn't we have somebody come in, a professional come in, and it seemed like to me, I recall there was a professional that came in and made this recommendation.
That was actually in 2002.
Oh, you were just updating it.
Black and Beach reviewed the rate structure the council adopted back from that 2001 to look at that time the adequacy of the structure.
Right, and then we just reviewed that
on
2005, 2006. We reviewed it every year, I think, since we've been here. But I think the point is that we really need to continue to get our water usage down. It's very important for us. Certain areas of the city, it's a great highlight. You know, I've noticed it on the news every time to see who the water hogs are and everything like that. There's a lot of larger lots in North Dallas with seniors, and that's going to affect them. I think we had that conversation when we discussed it the last time a few years ago. So just to be very thorough, get it outside the budget process, I appreciate Councilmember Griggs bringing it to our attention. But I think there's some issues, some ancillary issues that go along with it in making a good decision. I'll be supportive of reviewing it and perhaps doing a, you know, an additional tier or so, but I really want the council to understand, you know, the nuances of a decision like that.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Scott, I seem to remember on the chart that you showed me that 6% of the water users use 20% of our water. Is that right?
That's correct. For residential users, 6% use 20% of our water.
That was the number that blew me away, and I want that to sink in for everybody. 6% of our residential users are using 1/5 of Dallas's water supply. And I respect the points that folks have made about wanting to look at this thoroughly, and I appreciate that, because I think this this deserves thoughtful scrutiny and thoughtful conversation. But I also think it's very critical for us to remember that, yes, our water conservation work has been successful in many ways, but we could do so much more. And to Ms. Margolin's point about whether or not increasing rates on the 6% that use 1/5 of our entire water supply, I would suggest that at the very worst, if these folks think that that's just the cost of keeping their lawns green, that we could use those funds nonetheless to provide conservation in other ways, whether it's education, whether it is ensuring that city properties are using the best conservation techniques possible. But I think it's really important for us to engage in this conversation, and I hope that at the end of the day we make sure that we are not just allowing folks who are using 1/5 of our water supply to get off with such a good deal, because we can do better. Mr. Grace, thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Any other questions? Let me ask a couple of questions for clarification. What are we asking? What is this? What are we doing here? Is this a, are we asking staff to do what and by when? And
direct staff. I think this this hasn't had a thorough, complete review since the 2001-2002.
I heard that.
And so in the next year, if we're going to get this in place for the 2012-2013 budget for water, we need to start looking at it now.
So what does looking at it mean? That's what I want to be clear.
To come back with a briefing about the tiering, the structure, and go through the same process that was done in 2001-2002.
Okay, so we're asking staff to come back with a new recommendation or confirm the current one? Or a recommendation?
You go through the process about the tiering and what the policy decisions would be?
No, so it sounds like what you want is a overview of the tiering and a recommendation on what the tiering should be.
Correct.
Okay, good. I just want to clarify that. Mr. Allen?
Yeah, that's just one little teeny tiny part. And so if we're going to peel the onion back and go back and revisit, we need to look at it in a very in-depth way, because this goes so much stronger, even at Austin, and how we present ourselves to Austin, how we present ourselves to the rural community. And that goes back to the conservation that we're talking about. But this needs to be a very, very broader discussion than just tiers. So I would want a very in-depth review.
Ms. Margolin?
Mr. Griggs, I would like to clarify. Are you looking for a staff recommendation or a menu of possibilities?
As usual, a menu that presents several options, and then depending on what policy we want to go, we would go that direction.
Okay, because I would be comfortable with that rather than a specific staff recommendation.
All right, so what I heard from that last three folks is an in-depth review of our pricing and tier structure with a few recommendations. A few, excuse me, okay, a menu of recommendation of possibilities
that we all would debate. Is that what we're trying to... I want to be clear about what we're asking staff to do. Okay? And Ms. Koop.
Quite frankly, it's a policy decision. I think we all agree about that around the horseshoe. It's really not a budget issue. It really is a policy issue. So I don't want the public to misunderstand, because sometimes they do. I know I bring this up in town hall meetings all the time. Water is such a precious resource, and we only charge you for how much it costs us to deliver and process your water. So just for the listening public, it's not an issue in to be brought up to think that that would somehow or another solve some of the budget issues that we have. So I just want to make sure that, that the listening public understands that. No matter what decision is made, we still want, if we choose a tier and we charge people more in that tier, we're still going to deliver water at a rate that does not make money or lose money.
Okay. Yeah, my only question as we think about this is what we're trying to accomplish. Conservation is one thing, revenue generation is another thing, and just punishing people is another thing. I mean, you kind of, there's three, and all of them could be valid discussions to be had. But it depends on which one you want to go with, which comes back with a recommendation of where we are. All right, so let me characterize. Any other discussions or thoughts? Let me characterize. So the thought is that we would ask staff at the appropriate time, with some degree of speed in looking at next year, to prepare us for options in wrestling through this problem.
Yeah, that schedule would probably be January-ish. We'd come back, because that's when we start discussing budget, January, February.
Okay.
That'd be the beginning of the budget cycle.
Okay, good. What do we? We've got a motion, and Angela, you want to second that? Okay. For what I just said, a show of hand. I know, but I just wanted a directional. This is the kind of, you know, we're giving staff. This is a lot of work to do, so I just want to make sure we're aligned about doing it. Yes, Ms. Grayson.
Mayor, so we're asking staff to bring back a menu of possibilities versus a recommendation. Just a menu of possibilities. Okay.
I said a few, but they would change to a menu. So, okay. Got it.
You were saying recommendations. I was saying options.
I said
options.
So much as I say, that's why I'm
clarifying.
Okay. All right. Show of hands that folks that staff wants to do this. All right. All right, and anybody opposed? Okay. All right, so we've got more, so Mary, if you'll do that. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Okay, item number six. I think this is yours, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, last year, as we undertook the budget process, one of the things that we focused on was economic development. And one of the ways that we work on doing that is ensuring that we have a city that looks clean and safe and comparable to some of our cities, especially to the north, that have taken over TxDOT's cleanup. And their highways look very clean, very nice. And we did that. And this year we spent at least a couple million dollars just on deep cleanup. And that is going back and clean. Was it $2 million just on going back and doing what TxDOT had not done for several years, ensuring that grass that had grown over curbing had been cut back on TxDOT property, and that dirt that had gone over had been pulled up and hauled away. And so we spent those dollars, and then we were also spending maintenance dollars. This year, the idea was is that we weren't going to have to spend the deep cleanup dollars, just the maintenance dollars, okay? Because we'd already done the deep clean last year. I got to tell you that as I drive around the city and I try to get all around on our TxDOT freeways, I do not see an incredible difference between the maintenance that TxDOT had done and the maintenance that we're doing. And so I'm not sure then why the city of Dallas would want to continue to take on that burden and have taxpayers in Dallas pay additional funding to do cleanup when we're not going above and beyond what TxDOT has done just as far as maintenance goes. I have not seen it. I'm happy to bring in pictures to my colleagues to show you. But I think this is something we can turn back over to the state. I don't think they can do a worse job than what we've seen. And we can use those funds, it's $3.2 million, to accomplish two very important things. One is restoring park maintenance in the park department. And that's ensuring that the mowing and trash pickup are the same as what we had this year, which I think, just looking at my parks, is the bare minimum. And I think if we do less than that, I think that we are not having clean parks. We're also talking about retaining 70 positions within the park department, and that's critical because they're the folks who do maintenance in our parks. And if we privatize that, we have less control over it, we have less ability to ensure that there's quality control. And we've also seen in some other cities, in talking with our parks department folks, that sometimes when park maintenance is fully privatized, they come in with a really low number at first. They sell you on a really low number, and then you get rid of your equipment, you get rid of your personnel, and the next year the cost for maintenance skyrocket. And then you're in a bind because you've done away with your equipment and your ability to maintain your parks, and you have to rely on the private sector. So I think that's very important. I also want to point out, in the streets department, as we all know, our streets are in really tough condition in a lot of places in our city. And for the last 3 years, except for last year, for 2 years, 3 years prior to that, we have not spent some basic maintenance funding, some micro-resurfacing funding on our streets, and that's, I think, put us in a bad position as far as maintaining our streets continually. We restored that last year, but we still need more funding. So this is a way to put in a little bit more funding to continue to maintain our streets. And I invite Ms. Grayson and Mr. Griggs to further comment on this if they have anything to add to this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Angela, you know, for bringing this subject up. TxDOT right-of-way, you know, we fought hard last year to make sure our right-of-way to be clean and taken care of. And I remember during the NBA All-Star game, during the Super Bowl, and those right-of-way were so clean, you know, especially in the southern sectors, in southern Dallas, and people were calling and left and right, saying, you know what, Dallas doing a great job. By doing a great job, and we had a discussion to say, hey, who's supposed to pay for this? That was supposed to Texas. And we asked our city manager, do you think we get our money back? It's kind of like a political issue. We might not never get paid, but we feel like it was a right of our citizens to make sure our right was clean. In my district, you know, for the last 4 years, you heard me say gateways. And Von Seer said gateway. You called from gateway at 67 in Hampton. We fought for years just to get it clean, paper pickup. We talked about gateway at Camp Woods in 67, the gateway at 20 in Hampton, you know, the gateway at Simpson Field in 45. For many, many years, we couldn't get this gateway clean. And we called TxDOT, we do whatever necessary to do it. But in order to have a north side still might be cleaner, and the south side might be dirty. I'm not saying which side is which, but there's a big difference. To me, there's a big difference in my neighborhood that is right away. There's a big difference when I see people picking up the paper and the trash are throwing out. And I see people who come into town on 6735, and you see the difference of traffic coming in. Especially in the Super Bowl, the NBA All-Star game, the one time more that we did do last year, we did spend more than $3 million.
$3 million in cleanup.
And it's just to get it, and it's just get it in a position. It's kind of like you're going to do try to do your hair. You know, you get a perm, get everything done. You don't do no maintenance, all you can go back. You got to go back and do another perm. So, and sometimes you might have cut it off, as Kelly just said. But the point is that I'm not going to let our city of Dallas go back where it was
four or five years ago. And then the reason why it did go back, because we did not do what we're supposed to do. And if we do turn it back over to TxDOT, can we make TxDOT cut the grass and everything?
No, sir.
No? So what do we do? In our backyard, in our city, we let the grass grow?
If we move this funding, we won't be mowing it.
We won't be mowing it. So I'd be completely against it, you know, unless we go back to TxDOT and say, hey, pay us the fee for the service rendered. Until we find out they're going to pay us that money, then I'm going to support this issue because it's a very important issue to me, especially for the Southern Dallas, in order to get developers into the Southern Dallas. And most times people who come to Dallas, especially developers, say, you know what, we got grass going, we got trash, and the volunteers say, you know, the cleaner the city, the better people. Just keep my neighborhood clean. And that's something that we got to keep South Dallas clean. If we don't keep South Dallas clean, we're not going to have development. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very supportive of this. I see the challenge, particularly in the Southern Dallas and District 3, you know, differ a little bit from my colleague, is on our parks and our potholes. We desperately need to keep our parks looking good, and we need to take care of the potholes in our streets. And moving this money from TxDOT is an opportunity. What we have to look at is, do we want a pleasant residential experience with nice parks and our streets, no potholes? Or are we interested in the commuter experience, driving on the larger TxDOT roads through Dallas? As you know, in the past decade, our population only increased by 9,000 people, 0.78%. We need to refocus ourselves on these residential amenities, these parks and potholes, and this money goes a long way to protecting our parks and potholes, which I believe are in jeopardy. And from talking to developers and people who visit Southern Dallas, that's what they say. They want to see nice parks, they want to see streets without potholes, and that's what our residents are saying as well. So I strongly support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Mr. Atkins. Mr. Griggs, Ms. Hunt, Ms. Grayson, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I certainly would want to restore every person who works that we could, and I understand the need to keep our street funding up. But Ms. Atkins is absolutely correct. We have been trying for years to get those gateways cleaned up, and this past year has made all of the difference. He mentioned several gateways, but particularly Hampton and 67. Mr. Griggs, that is not a commuter experience. That is the gateway into our community and that entire area. We need that area and the others he mentioned to be clean because of the drive up. Ron Lipinski used to call it curb appeal, but it's the drive up to the entire area. We cannot get developers to come to that area and take a second look if those gateways are not clean. You never get to the neighborhoods if they back away having seen what we had 2 years ago at those gateways. So while I understand the philosophy behind this amendment, I cannot support it for the very reasons that Mr. Atkins said. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and my colleagues. Let me first kind of set the record, in my opinion, straight. In the southern sector, and I will speak for that, and then in conjunction with other areas, during all of the town hall meetings that I would have, the number one complaint was high weeds and grass and trash. And what I encouraged at my town hall meetings, because one, I am a supporter of the employees of the city of Dallas, and we have elected officials, and for 4 years, not three, two, but for 4 years, I have encouraged at my town hall meetings to call a town hall meeting with every elected official that represents a particular address, because everything that goes on at a particular address is not and should not be weighed upon just the citizens or the elected officials of Dallas and our city employees. For example, as we talk about these the freeways, and it's very seldom that that I agree, but when it's time to agree, I have to. When you look at 8th Street at 35, at Townview, where we get off at right there at 35 going to Townview, the grass, and that's right by state representative or state senator's Royce West's office, let me be real clear. The weeds, it has been trash, it has been everything, but when the citizens are going, they look at it and they put it on our staff. And I would clarify at my town hall meeting that's the property and the responsibility of the state. So don't beat me up about it. Bring me in and make sure that, you know, we're doing the things that we need to do, but let's pass that responsibility on to the state. Then when you look at our prestigious zoo at 35 at Marcellus, and when you get off at that exit and you see all of the trash that's there, the unkept weeds and the things that are taking place there, it's our zoo, and they come into our community, but that is the state's responsibility. It is not the city's responsibility. And when you go to 67 at Illinois, and you see the same thing when you get off and you're going into Oak Cliff, when you take a left to go into Oak Cliff, we still have the panhandlers that are still, that is one man on a crutch that still consistently in there, stays there, and he runs that area. We don't, evidently, because he's there and we can't seem to do anything about it, and he trashes out the area as well as the citizens, and the responsibility there is the state. At Keith at 67, where Christ for the Nation is, it's the same thing. Now, I'll segue to say this. I have been so public on this issue that the pressure finally came onto the state. And being so public about it, TxDOT and the state and every representative of the state, they began to focus, and then all of a sudden they start planting trees, they start cleaning up, and they started doing a lot of things. I think that we should continue to keep the pressure on the state, but publicly make sure folks understand where that responsibility, whose shoulders that responsibility should lie on. Unless we have a commitment from the state, then we have no other responsibility other than to make sure we keep it until they come and tell us that they're going to do what they're supposed to do. They're not doing their job. To give it back to them without a commitment, then I have a concern with. They need to make a commitment that they are going to do the things that are going to take place or that are needed to take place before we just hand it back over to them. So in closing, I'm with keeping it until we can get a commitment from them. And until we get a commitment, it's our responsibility to make sure that it's done. But I think Ms. Hill, through legislation and through our interactions with the government in Austin and those elected officials and TxDOT, we need to be focused on securing a commitment from them to make sure they do their job so we can pass it on and stop taking the blame.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. First of all, I will be supporting Mr. Atkins and supporting what Ms. Hill has said and what Ms. Elway has said. I support what the city has done on keeping those thoroughfares clean. Now, when TxDOT had it, they didn't do as good a job as our city staff has done. Now, when we talk about 30 going towards Mesquite, when I've gone to neighborhood meetings and we had the budget meetings, they were commending how well city staff had taken care of the thoroughfares. And Sheriff and I share going into the Jim Miller Peavy area. That area looked totally, totally nice. And I do agree, when people come into our city, you want to see a clean, healthy environment. That's one of the tag words, clean, healthy environment. And that's what I think we should see. But the other thing is that the city of Dallas gets blamed for the thoroughfares. when we've had meetings in the past, people would say, well, city staff is not cutting the thoroughfares. And we would tell people, that's not our responsibility. It is the state responsibility. And the state have had it for years. And they have not, I think, done as good a job as we have. So I think long term, before we give it back, we do have to have some type of commitment from the state that they're going to do something and do it better than what we're doing. And then when it comes to the park department, now, I'm not going to go back into that issue again about the money. They've had money to restore all the things that we're talking about here. But for whatever reason, I'm not going to go over that again, it didn't happen. So it did not happen. So the money was needed to pay for other bills. So I would not be supporting this at all when the park department, our city manager had to do, from my understanding, she had to do what she had to do. And so now we move forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm kind of torn between this and the parks, because I'll tell you, we need to maintain our parks, and I think we do need the folks there to do this. Mary, don't we have funds to do potholes? Every time I've called, I've got my potholes fixed.
We have the funding to do the maintenance that extends the life of the streets, and we restored that. What we really need is the bond money. Of course, you can put that restoration in. It's just not going to stay on the streets. The streets that have bad problems right now need the reconstruction work. So we do have enough money for our potholes, but some streets are so bad that if you build it, the pothole would pop out the next time it rained. So
okay, and every time we come up with the TxDOT deal, it upsets me that we're paying for what they should be doing.
Well, it upsets me too, but they did. During the last year, we talked to them and said, we know you weren't spending enough on it, but we want at least what you were spending. We do get that too, but we know it's not enough to do the job.
Okay. If we go for this amendment here, what happens to, will they ever get mowed? Or will it just be that mode less?
It'll be TxDOT schedule, which was what it was.
Well,
before.
That's saying they're not going to mow it.
Well, they mow a little bit.
When they get mowed, it don't get mowed.
They mow a little bit of it. They do a little bit of it. They have a little bit of money in their budget to do some of it.
So what happens is it just goes back to their schedule.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, folks coming into our city, I mean, that tells a lot about us when we're not clean and we're not spruced up. And right now we look pretty good. So I'm just kind of torn which way to go. I'm totally behind our parks and our to make sure that they're done properly and that they do stay cleaned up. So just, I don't know. I'm torn. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Mr. Allen.
Mary, how much money did TxDOT give us last year?
They haven't finished yet. We're in the middle of the year, and they've given us about $200,000 so far.
About $200,000?
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
They'll probably end up giving us less than a third of what... Well, less than a sixth of what we spent last year, and probably what we're planning on spending in the next year will be less than a third.
Put that in a dollar amount. How much are they going to give us?
Probably around $800,000.
About $800,000 to take care of the mowing and the trash
mm-hmm.
pickup?
Mm-hmm.
And then they do that or we do that? They give us the money and
give us the money and we do it with the additional money that you gave us.
Okay. So we can anticipate about $800,000
from them.
Somewhere in that neighborhood?
From them, yes.
You're nice enough to put, because one of the things Councilwoman Hunt asked for last year and was the fact that we would do the budget amendments when we did the $40 million tax increase. We wanted to see the budget amendments, and you kept it on the Dallas City Hall website. And when I look at that, I see that the right-of-way maintenance for the third quarter, so the first 9 months, we spent $2,778,000. Of this, so we allocated $6.5 million.
We spent the first $2 to $3 million, right at $3 million, cleaning up. I mean, as Ms. Hunt pointed out, dirt had grown on the curbs and forests had grown on the medians, and so the first group we spent cleaning out everything.
Yeah, 45% is what you say,
yeah,
that you spent of the $2.7 million. Okay. So how does this drought affect us? Seems to me the grass is all dead.
Yes, and we have a little bit of challenge. For instance, on SM Wright, they ask us to hold off on mowing because of fire hazards. But the rain and the season's changing, we'll be able to get back at it in certain areas, that area they ask. And, of course, they're working on Central. They've got their responsibility there. We have an agreement, a separate agreement on Central about how we'll work on that.
Was that Central part of this $2.7 million?
Not a lot of work on Central, because remember
Central was going to be $1 million.
They were fixing the middles and they were getting it to a certain standard. Because their original design had not worked.
And they're almost through. They've almost, you know, after a year, they've almost been able to make that lift.
I'm not sure why I'd say almost through, but they're
They're almost through pulling stuff out.
They haven't put anything back in.
Yeah. So it's still very bare. Of that $2.7 million, again, is that $1 million included in that?
No, that was a separate
item.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we did the $40 million last year, we did just FYI, folks, we did with the park mowing, and this goes back to Councilman Davis, what you're talking about. We allocated $11 million for the parks. It was last year's. So we did every 7 days worth of mowing, $2.4 million. Goes back to your point, Ms. Davis. The litter pickup 4 times a week, $1.5 million. So, and then on the streets, back to the potholes, if a citizen calls me today, last year we said that it was 48 hours we'd have a pothole fixed. If a citizen calls me today, how quick will that pothole be fixed?
So it's the same.
You just have to fix
more of them with the additional money you get.
So 2 days, within
you,
2 days.
You took us to the level that we can, that the streets that need maintenance and have their lives extended by that, that's the amount of money we needed.
Yeah, we set aside last year $23 million extra for streets. That's what we did in tax increase. It was $23 million. So I've seen an improvement. I've seen improvement with the parks. I've seen them across the board. The libraries, we set aside $2.6 million last year. Our culture programs, $2.5 million we added. So anytime I've got the state, ought to be doing an $800,000, and that's their job to do that. And we set aside $6.5 million. We spent $2 something million on it. I'm still kind of scratching my head about all these numbers and where it's at. I do see it looking better, but I'm the same way. I want to see when I drive out in my neck of the woods, and we got a lot of freeway out there with LBJ Central and just all the freeways that we've got. And I'm doing just like everybody else, whether it's Southern Sector or what. I'm looking to see. Because the grass, yeah, it's dead. It's been dead a long time. But I'm looking at that trash. I'm looking at that trash, and I'm scratching my head. Am I getting, you know, the citizens, since they're being taxed almost twice, are they getting their money's worth? So I'm still up on it. Bottom line is, I don't care for paying TxDOT. Or us, our citizens. Again, I was against the $6.5 million last year, and I'm against it still.
Ms. Grayson.
You know, I agree with everyone who said it's important to have our expressways looking cleaned up, but it's really important to have our neighborhood parks look cleaned up. This is a neighborhood issue as much as anything. People live in their neighborhoods. They have parks in their neighborhoods, and they want to see them looking good. If they look good now, it's because we put the money into it to make them look good. And this is going, I don't know about the 7 days mowing schedule I just heard, because the budget said it would take it from 10 days mowing to 12 days mowing. 12 days mowing in a grassy growing season is too long. I know one of the very best amenities that we have going in my neck of the woods is a trail. And people love the trail, and when it doesn't get mowed, then it doesn't look good for several miles through Miss Coots' district and my district. And so this is an issue of, you know, people wanting to live in nice-looking neighborhoods. Now, I'm surrounded by suburban communities up where I live, and they all have beautifully maintained parks. And we suffer by comparison when we don't take care of our parks and we don't pick up the trash in our parks. So I think this is a matter of, do you want people to come and want to live in our neighborhoods? If you do, you want your parks to look good. You want them to be well-maintained. And once those 70 positions are gone, they're gone. And it's going to take a long time to get that back. And we will see exactly what Ms. Hunt said, which is we'll get a low-ball price on a contract for mowing, and then when we get rid of our people and get rid of our equipment, the contract's going to come back with a big price increase, and then we're going to have to deal with that. So I think this is a really important issue, is to give the park department the funding it needs to keep our neighborhoods and our neighborhood parks looking good. As far as the streets go, this isn't just about filling potholes. This is about micro-surfacing and those other things that we do to make our streets last longer in the neighborhoods, which is what people are asking for. They're asking for nice parks and good streets. You know, I might have mentioned something in the last item we were discussing about water, but I'm going to mention it now. By the way, I haven't seen this big improvement on Central that everybody is, talking about with their other expressways. I haven't seen it on Central. But you know what I did see the other day? As I was driving north on Central, at Walnut Hill and Central, I saw a water truck, and I don't know if it's ours or TxDOT's or who's, busily dumping gallons and gallons of water on all the dead stuff growing in the median. Okay, is that our water that we're wasting? Is that TxDOT wasting water? This stuff was totally dead, and they were dumping water on it. Ms. Sim, do you know the answer to that?
I suspect it's not us. We don't water stuff that way.
So we're going to pay TxDOT to dump water on dead grass in our medians? That's what we're paying for? I mean, where is the common sense here? So, if...
We weren't paying TxDOT. We were doing that, you're paying your taxes, you're paying it that way.
Well, okay, the money's coming from somewhere.
We don't water. You gave us extra money last year to mow and clean up trash along the TxDOT right-of-ways. We said, TxDOT, if our council has given us this money to do this, you ought to be at least kicking in what you're doing, even though it's just a little bit. So they kicked in their little bit. So Central Expressway was a separate deal, and I don't know what they're doing with the way of water. They're supposed to pull the stuff out and put other things in. So,
well, could we get an answer to my question? I'd like to know if they're wasting our water. Are we wasting?
Well, I will check. I'm pretty sure it's them, because we don't water like that.
But anyway, I haven't seen this great improvement on Central Expressway, and I drive Central all the time.
Yeah, it's a separate.
Is that they haven't started yet?
Well, they've been pulling out stuff, like Mr. Allen said. That's about as far as they've gotten, is pulling out. They're supposed to pull out and put other things in, and they're not very far along the road, to say the least.
Could you also tell me, I heard that we were mowing every 7 days. Are we mowing every 7 days? Because the budget says we're going to go from 10 days to 12 days. What are we doing?
I'll have to ask, what's the time frame and schedule on mowing?
In the parks.
In the parks. Oh, excuse me, Barbara.
This year, the budget has us mowing every 7 days.
Every 7 days. Then why does the budget say it goes from 10 days to 12 days?
I'll have to look into that.
Pardon?
I'll have to look into that.
Well,
and so it's an average. There's not every single part gets mowed every 7 days. It's kind of an average from 7 to 10 days, and it would go then from like 10 to 12 day average.
How do you decide what parks get mowed 7 days and what parks get, or does it vary? I mean, sometimes one park gets mowed every seven and then a month later every ten. How do you dogs decide that?
Well, there's depending on the amenities they are or where they are, the various downtown get mowed every 7 days. And if they're in more remote areas, it might get mowed than every 10 days rather than every 7 days. Or it depends on the visibility and the use. And the number of amenities in a park will make it be more used more and get maintained more frequently.
You know, what you just said reminds me of something I've often thought of, which is that we take care of our areas that tourists come see better than we take care of our areas where our own residents live, and that it's very important to them to have their areas look nice too. I'm not sure as a policy issue I agree with that approach, that we make everything else look pretty for the tourists, but our own folks have to look at taller grass and trash not picked up as often. I consider this a budget amendment to be all about neighborhood quality of life. And like I said about the street filling, it's not just potholes. It's micro-surfacing that saves us money in the long run because it makes our streets last longer. So I think this is a very important neighborhood quality of life issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Coop.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me ask Angela a question. Angela, where did you get the $3.2 million this year? Not where did you get it, but why did you determine that that was the amount of money? Because it was 6.5 with the penny increase. So what methodology did you use?
Those were the funds that I got from Forest as the amount of money that we would be spending this year on the maintenance. Because we're not going to be spending 6.5 on this year. About half of those funds were for the deep cleaning that we weren't going to do this year. And so we were only going to be spending 3.2.
And that's Ms. Hunter's exactly right. And early in the budget, you saw that $3 million being reprogrammed into the general fund for other things because we knew we weren't going to be doing that deep cleaning again.
So I think that's maybe an issue. If it's already been reprogrammed and scattered throughout, then where does the $3.2 million come from?
You had a little over $6 million scheduled for mowing.
Oh, you're taking it completely away from.
Yeah.
So you won't. So TxDOT.
TxDOT will be doing their $800,000 worth of work.
Oh, I misunderstood. TxDOT's going to be mowing three times a year, whether it needs it or not, and that's their part of it. And right, and the $3.8 million, which is left over, is totally going into. Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, I thought what you're doing was you had the 6.5, and you were taking 3.2 from that. Well, this is really an issue because TxDOT is only going to mow three times a year, whether it needs or not. I mean, I'm not being facetious. That's what is going to happen. And what happens is when they only mow three times a year, because you went back and cleaned up and everything, you're going to have people, they don't, and I didn't vote for that tax increase, so I'm with Jerry. I'm with Jerry. You know, I'm having a very challenging time with this issue. But what happens is that the same thing that caused you to go back and pull out all that trash and the deep cleaning will happen again because people throw stuff out. And every time they mow, how they do their mowing is they come in and they mow, and then they clean up, they try to clean up. And so all the cups and everything have been scattered to the wind. So it's, you know, that is an issue. Now, I don't know how I'm going to vote on it, but I don't like the fact that we've had to pick up TxDOT's mowing. There's just no question about that. Didn't like it to begin with, spoke out against it to begin with, was amazed that we picked that up. It's a matter of federal government pushing down to the states and the states pushing down to the city, and you see this as a national policy, then the city having to determine with their citizens now what is important and what are we going to pick up because so many programs have gone away. And so that is it's something that we're going to continue to wrestle with, I think, as CBDD is cut and so on and so forth. It's something that really is going to be a challenge over the next several years. The Central Expressway is a different, that was a different deal. We entered into a contract with them. We got $1 million from a Green Ribbon program that we would not have been eligible for otherwise. I would like Mary at some point to get a briefing on that because it's here, and I don't drive that, but Ms. Grayson has said that it looked like they planted some things there and then they came and dumped water on them, and maybe they did. You know, you could be right. Yeah, right. That's not beyond the possibility, not beyond the pale. The park maintenance being privatized, I'm not sure. Is Paul here, Dyer? Yeah, okay.
explain to me, give me some detail on the privatization.
Okay, we've got a couple of RFPs out that are either out on the street right now or just about to go out to look at privatizing or some opportunities to contract for some of the litter pickup and also for some of the mowing. And we've got it on a scale that we're asking the folks to bid on. And, you know, think it's definitely worth a look. We can compare what the cost would be to the city to have it done by a contractor compared to the city's cost to do it. And in any case, looking to go into it cautiously, not to do a wholesale privatization of you know, 50 or 80% of the program, but to start small so that we can grow it as we can grow the program, but also so that we don't just have a wholesale scrapping the good work that we do with our employees, so that we can test the contracted
service. You won't know until January, is that it, when the bids are?
It would be January before it would start to be implemented.
Do you know if the, do you have an approximate number of employees that are going to be?
Again, we put out the specs where it has a different level of scale, so we don't know at this point what the impact would be to the employees that would have to go through a mid-year RIF if we do the contracted services.
If contract comes back too high, then what are you going to do?
Well, that we could keep on doing it with our employees. If it comes back and the contract is significantly higher than our cost to do it right now, because that wasn't really included into this budget process, then we still have the employees to do it.
So you're not risking any employees right now.
Well, we are risking employees that would have the service reduction that is being discussed right now, reducing the number of mowing cycles per week.
So one is not connected to the other?
Correct.
At all?
Correct. They're not.
How much does the contract work?
Again, we're bidding it on a scale,
yeah,
and we would look at probably in the range of between $3 to $5 million that would be a conservative start to do the contracting again, so that we don't get ourselves into a bind where we're held hostage by a contractor.
But there was really not related to the other. This is just kind of an experiment.
You know, we've got the money that we have to do the park maintenance. The proposal that was submitted by the park department has a small reduction in the park maintenance, reducing the number of mowing cycles per week and slightly reducing the litter pickups per week. That would go forward regardless. What we're looking at also doing in mid-year would be to look at contracted services and to see how, if that gains us any savings, if that gains us any efficiencies, and to go forward incrementally with a small percentage of our, maybe about 30% of the work that we do to have that privatized.
Okay. Thank you. Mary, on your $3.2 million, how did you calculate that? Did you sit down and say, okay, we're doing this many miles? Does it cost TxDOT more than $3,200 to do?
$3.2 million.
Why was he saying that? $3.2 million. Does anybody know that it costs TxDOT more or less?
TxDOT has given us a rate that they would do it, and I think our rate's a little bit less. What we get contract-wise is a little bit less than what TxDOT pays us. But TxDOT's we just said, hey guys, you were spending this, give us this money. We want the money you were spending on Dallas, because we're now spending no money on Dallas too. But it's figured by you have a rate price for litter pickup and a rate for mowing.
You had the $800,000 to $3.2 million for $4 million to do the entire, all the right away. And you went out and got a bid, and that was the lowest bid. Every year, it will cost you the same amount for 5 years. Did you get like a five-year
contract?
Well, the process was the council approved the budget, the city went out for bid, awarded a contract for $3.2 million. Over the course of a number of months, we've been talking to TxDOT about paying the city. We've gotten one check on that $800,000. We'll see the other money when we get the other money, but we wanted to award
based on the amount of money that the city had encumbered, which is the way we do our contracting. So this award was for the amount that the city of Dallas budgeted.
Okay. And we can have a whole discussion about bills being paid by the state and why we think they're slow and how they balance the budgets and that kind of thing,
that's
but
right.
I wouldn't count on it in a timely manner.
Right.
I'm still concerned about $3.2 million. How often are you mowing?
So we have a mowing schedule that is every a 28-day mowing cycle during the growing season. For the past couple of months, we have not mowed as often. We've done some work in the contract to remove litter, and litter is a term that I wouldn't really use. It's junk.
Yeah, it's
mattresses,
funny.
Construction debris, tires. So we spend an awful lot of dollars removing litter and debris from the TxDOT rights of way. As well as
is there a way to cut back on that? I just think it's an interesting juxtaposition that you have. You're cutting back on park maintenance, but you wouldn't cut back on highway maintenance similarly.
I agree with the term maintenance. So it's not litter or mowing. It's really those rights of ways, those 4,000 acres of TxDOT property. The city maintains that area of litter, mowing, weeds, and any other items that need maintenance.
When you talk about doing it every month, are you talking about doing, is that just an average?
On average, right. We give them a 28-day period.
It's 12
right.
Cycle, 12 cycles. Times a year, right, whether it's more in the summer.
And
or
we don't order the work if it's not needed. So if the grass isn't growing, we don't order that work. We order what we need, which is litter removal, debris, edging. Weeds grow up around our curbs and things like that, so we have that work done. We order what we need.
Well, I don't know. It just is an odd thing to me that we wouldn't have cut back on that slightly in order to gain some
saving.
Money to help the parks. But I mean, they, in my opinion, and I was down on 20 the other day. Where was I going? I can't remember where I was going, but I was down on 20 the other day, and there was a remarkable difference. I mean, y'all have done a great job. There was a remarkable difference between those little signs that said Dallas City Limits. I mean, right where the sign was. I mean, you know, it had stopped. So, in my opinion, you guys have done a phenomenal job on the upkeep of the TxDOT right away. And Ms. Hill, I agree with you. It does make a difference in that area. I was trying to get to the point where perhaps everybody could give just a little bit, but I just don't know enough about the figures to know if, you know, the 3.2 plus the 800,000 is a huge amount of, is a comparable amount of money that other cities spend in the state or not. I mean, I'm sure if we took it out for bid, I'm sure it was an appropriate bid and everything, but I'm just wondering if we could cut back a little bit on it
We haven't got the state's money. It's September, and we've got 183. So,
we can have a conversation about that offline.
That.
I do not think that you're going to get that, and yep. I'll tell you the reasons why. Just one second, let me make sure I got everything. The decision actually doesn't have to be made today, does it, since there's kind of two factors in there, one with parks and...
Well, one problem with not giving us some guidance today is we have to restructure the budget when you change revenues or
right.
expenses, and doing that on the floor, in my experience, has been on that final Wednesday, we've done mistakes.
But can you make a midterm correction in it?
Yes.
Can we work on this issue if we accept the amendment one way or the other and then work towards the midterm correction
well,
or not?
Except you've got contracts. And
when did they do?
Oh, you're talking about parks contracts. We've got streets contracts that we have specified. Parks contracts will do this late fall, early winter, so we can come back and tell you what we got. We might get good prices there.
Right.
If we get good prices, we can buy more cleanup and mowing.
And when is the highway maintenance contract due?
The contract that we currently have awarded to this contractor is a 3-year contract. So if this amendment is adopted as it's styled, we would have to go through the process of canceling that contract.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hotzel.
Thank you, Mayor. Forrest, if you'll come back up. You said we would have to cancel. What is the cost of cancellation?
Well, the
pencil the contract and the attorneys will nod at Mr. Perkins says we have a clause where we can cancel for convenience or not having funds.
With no cost.
With no cost. We have a provision in the contract that allows us to cancel the contract, yes.
Well, there is a cost. It's not attached to the contract. It's the cost that it takes you to redo all that work.
Oh, right.
That's it.
Okay, thank you, Forrest. Thank you. I have to say that on Interstate 35, it affects my area, going down Colorado, Marcellus, 8th Street, Ewing, Jefferson. I have not seen any difference. And that area was not cleaned up. So there was certainly a targeted area to be cleaned up with that money that was received. And to have gotten $6.5 million and not see any change in those areas along 35, which really is another gateway because it's the entrance to downtown Dallas. So I'm very concerned that that money did not go to those areas, and those areas continue to be litter strewn and high weeds. The park maintenance, I'm very concerned, after having served 7 years on the park board, very concerned that we would privatize this. I very much agree with Councilwoman Grayson and Hunt that once you privatize, you know, we're sort of in a bad situation. We've placed ourselves in a bad situation to retain anything that we've lost. So I fully support keeping those 70 positions with Parks and Rec. If what they did with the money that we gave them last year, and yes, I did vote for the tax increase last year, so I really would like a briefing to find out from Parks and Rec where that money went. I do not support privatizing the maintenance. I think quality of life in our neighborhoods is very important. We've got to be able to tell our citizens very clearly how and when their parks will be maintained, and in addition to that, the thoroughfares. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Haas. So we are now on the second round here, okay? Ms. Margolin, I didn't realize that. Ms. Margolin, you were up next anyway. I thought you spoke earlier.
I have not spoken earlier. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's see. Barbara, could you come back up, Ms. Kendrick?
Oh, while she's coming up, so you, the folks in the second round, like, kind of figure out how you can do this in a minute or two, okay? Thank you.
Okay. So, tell me again what percentage under this proposal, under your budget, would be privatized. What percentage of maintenance?
Well, it's, we were looking at, we put out for bid, we've written specs for two different services, litter pickup and mowing. We anticipate that probably upwards of 50 to 60% of the litter pickup could be privatized. Again, that doesn't have to do a whole lot with equipment and supplies. It's a lot less complicated.
Okay, so because my question then is, so you would not be disposing of equipment? You wouldn't be getting rid of the equipment?
Correct. The smaller percentage we think of the mowing would be privatized. Again, it makes some sense to look at privatizing certain aspects of the organization, especially in outlying areas or maybe in areas that are less developed. Some of the large mowing, because again, the contractor can do that relatively inexpensively when they're not having to maintain around playgrounds and trails and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Of our overall budget for mowing and litter pickup, it would probably be somewhere between 20 to 25% of those two services.
So, okay. So in the current year, we're looking at mowing an average of, I'm hearing 7 days, I'm hearing 10 days, some 7 to 10 days. Do you have any idea previously, the prior year, what the cycle of mowing was then?
The prior year was back to the essentially a full funding, and it was at the same thing, about the 7 to 10 days. Again, in the more highly developed areas, no, it wasn't.
No, the previous year was a cut.
The previous year was a cut.
Is that what it was? Okay, so we went from about 14 days back to 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
Okay, and your proposal for the next year is also 7 to 10 days.
The no. budget as it stands prior to this amendment is for 12 days, an average of 12 days,
okay.
which is a small reduction from what we have in the current year.
Okay. I would say that I have been, since last year, the way the customer is horrified that we've had to take over TxDOT's responsibilities. But on the other hand, I believe that the highways are as much about the quality of life for our residents as they are for tourists. When I would get calls about LBJ Freeway's trash, I was getting calls from people who live in my district. And they were very concerned because they were looking at trash. So it wasn't about, I wasn't getting calls from people from out of state or from Houston. I was getting calls from people in my district. So what the highways look like is a quality of life issue for the residents of Dallas as well, much as I hate to pay TxDOT. This is a difficult decision, but thank you all for your discussion.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano had not spoken yet, so I'm going to let her speak, and then we'll go to the second round.
Thank you. Mayor, I work real closely with Forrest on this, and I, too, voted for this last year on the highway maintenance. Winslow, Dolphin, Carroll Peak, Oaklawn, Empire Central, Ferguson, talking about neighborhoods that, yes, perhaps tourists, go by there, but you're talking about neighborhoods like Mount Auburn, Dolphin Heights, Jubilee, Peaks Edition, Luffield West, Oaklawn, Owenwood, and these are back and forth that they go back and forth from maybe to a park or to work, to school, and I think it's really important, and I have seen an amazing difference since last year. Amazing difference. I have been working real closely with St. Luke's Community Church to make sure that they are happy with the maintenance as well. They just came to my office 3 weeks ago, and they are most satisfied on all four corners, or actually eight corners, of Winslow and 30. They have seen the difference. This is their entrance to their church services on Sunday morning. They have two at 8 and 11, and they have been in my office, and they are most satisfied with what is happening with the maintenance of that intersection. I also think that the parks are very important, because that's where our children and our community go and play and have parties and picnics, and I think that's so important. But I think all of this is a quality of life. These intersections, they're absolutely important, and I think folks see the difference, and I think it could be tourists, it could be employees, it could be a lot of other people, but these are where maybe the intersections of two neighborhoods meet. It just so happens it's a freeway, but there are where neighborhoods are. They're located, and they're near churches, they're near schools, they're near our businesses, and I think it's really important for us to make sure that we keep those areas clean.
Thank you. Okay, let's try to keep it minutes, 2 minutes, okay, Ms. Hill?
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I can do that.
Thank you.
Ms. McDonough said much of what I wanted to say. My colleagues continue to characterize this as freeway maintenance. That's not what we're talking about. This is how you get into our neighborhood. At Hampton and 67, that's where you get off of the freeway to get into my neighborhood. That is also where one of my busiest, mine and Ms. Askins that we share, one of our busiest commercial spots. We're not just talking about freeway maintenance. We're talking about the quality of life in our neighborhoods. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Was that under a minute?
Was it?
Thank you.
Excellent. You surprised me, Mr.
Cadet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Barbara, one more time. From last year,
how will our maintenance change this year's budget from last year? Because last year y'all did a fantastic job.
So this current year?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I want to know how it's going to change from last year to this year budget. What are we reducing?
The reduction would be an average of 2 days. The mowing cycle would be reduced by about 2 days per month. So an average of 7 to 10 days to an average of 10 to 12 days, essentially. So the mowing would be less frequent, but not as bad as the year before when it was a very dramatic reduction. And the litter pickup would be about half a day a week less next year than it's proposed for this year.
The litter pickup would be less?
Yes, sir.
That's not good. Okay, that's all I need. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kadane. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of things. You know, in my district, in my town hall meeting that we met, and most people were saying how great the freeway was clean and right away. Another deal is that District 8 grew about 15,000 people. The city of Dallas grew by 9, man. I think Scott District probably outgrew District 8. But it's very important that when people decide to develop it in the Southern Dallas, you know, I got one great developer coming on right there at 20 in Hampton, the new Target, the Bank of America, Wachovia, and Core America banks there, and my representative state, Helen Gibbons, and we still have more business coming in. And the reason why they're coming is because out of right away is clean. I have went and surveyed, asked them, why did you come there? They said, because you're doing a better job. Father, you come forward, please. And I'm trying to, you know, I was the one who really pushed the envelope to raise property tax and to make sure the parts get clean, the position, everything. So I guess, I think the attack might be on me, but let me make one thing clear. The right-of-way cleanup, the $3.2 million, that did not have anything to do with the center position of the parts and wrecks department pickups, right? Is that two different issues?
You're correct.
Right. So I want to make sure. It's two different issues. I mean, it seems like everybody's talking about the same issue, but it's two different issues. So we explain to my colleagues this is two different issues.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're correct. The contract for TxDOT Rights-of-Way is a contract that's managed by the street department. Any maintenance as far as parks and rec centers is under the domain of the park department.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Griggs.
In the budget, as it stands, we are taking over TxDOT responsibility when we can't even meet our own obligations for our own parks. In this current budget, we are cutting, it says it right here, mowing will be cut down to once every 12 days during peak season. The most frequent mowing we will have during peak season is once every 12 days. And then also, it's reducing trash pickup. We have an obligation as a city to take care of our parks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Barbara, while you're coming up, I got to tell you, with due respect to you, when Ms. Grayson and Mr. Griggs and I met with Paul Dyer last week, we got some different information than what we're hearing today. And Ms. Koop had a question to you about whether or not there was a relationship between the mowing and trash pickup reduction and the 70 privatized position. I have to tell you, Mr. Dyer answered that question in the affirmative, that there was a relationship between those. But I heard you tell Ms. Koop something different.
Well, two different things. Our budget as it stands right now does include the reduction of 70 positions. If there were any funding that were restored, then those positions would not be reduced. So yes, the positions that would be are part of the difference in what was funded this current year and what's proposed to be funded, which is about a $2 million reduction in maintenance. If we privatize mid-year, there would be then additional employees that we'd have to have a reduction in force to pay for the private contracting. So instead of paying employees, we would be paying a contractor. But yes, the 70 positions is a budget reduction or a difference in what's funded this current year and what is proposed to be funded next year.
Okay. I feel like we're also getting different pieces of information about how often our parks were mowed, because when this council made the decision to invest more dollars in park maintenance last year, the decision was to do it every 7 days.
Right.
Is it every 7 days or is it every 10 days?
It is primarily every 7 days that was funded for this current fiscal year.
Okay. Colleagues, if it's every 7 days that we've been doing this last year, there's a big difference between doing it every 7 days and doing it every 12 days. That's almost doubling the time between mowings, okay? And so I'm a little frustrated that we've had the information that we're going from 10 days to 12 days. Not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. It's going from every 7 days as we funded it in the current year to every 12 days. That's a 5-day difference during high season. It is not, colleagues, our parks are going to look bad. Our parks are going to look bad, and we've tried to come up with a way to address that issue. Now, to the point about that there's not a relationship between the TxDOT right-of-way cleanup and the parks mowing, there is a relationship in that we have a limited amount of funds, and we've got to make tough choices. And I would love to see, and Tanel, you know this, I want to see our right-of-way, our TxDOT right-of-way look fantastic. I've not seen that in my area. And in parts of town, like in various parts of town, I've seen that too, Ms. Hosso. I'm not seeing it look better than when TxDOT did it. And Forrest, I have some questions for you too, and Mr. Mayor, I apologize for running over. I always try to be brief, but this is an issue I feel strongly about. And Forrest, if I could ask you a couple of questions.
This is your amendment.
Thank you, sir. Forrest, you said that during mowing season we're doing every 28 days.
Yes.
Here's what I'd like you to explain to me. Taking aside the deep cleaning that we did, can you tell us how many times that we've mowed this past year?
Or yes,
touched that right away? How many times?
I can't tell you right now, but I can give you before this, within the hour, how many cycles we've ordered and they've completed and that we've paid for, which would include litter pickup in advance of mowing, edging, weed eating, and the complete
That's considered one?
That is considered one cycle, yes.
Okay. Can you give me an estimate as while your folks are getting the specifics?
Well, they're sitting in the back room, so someone's going to be in here in about
okay.
a matter of seconds.
Okay, well, as they come in here.
Well, they better be.
Yeah, because here's what I'd like by the end of the week, and
okay.
I think I've asked for this, but I want this by the end of the week.
Okay.
I want you to tell me exactly and when and the cost of the cleanups.
Okay.
I want to know when it took place.
Okay.
I want to know where it took place. I want to know how much that cleanup cost.
Okay.
As a breakout.
Sure.
Of what we spent. And as far as Central Expressway being some separate deal, I got to tell you, I'm having real heartburn over that. It's been 1 year since we did this amendment. And Central Expressway looks as bad as it's ever looked. There's trash on it. There's a lot of trash on it. You and I can go drive out there today. There's trash on it. All of the dead plants are overgrown dead plants. They look terrible, the ones that haven't yet been pulled out. When you get into downtown, and if we're talking about gateways, colleagues, the entry into downtown on Central Expressway looks horrible. And that is one of our major entrances to downtown Dallas. And so, I asked for this about a month ago.
Right.
I haven't seen it. What are we going to do about Central?
Okay.
What is the timeline on Central? How much funding are we going to spend on Central? When is it going to be cleaned up? When is it going to get cleaned up? And then what is the cycle going to be to keep it cleaned up?
Right.
And I haven't seen any of that. And it has been a full year. And so I share the frustration that I've heard from some of my colleagues who are saying, well, I think it's terrific that some parts of town have been cleaned up. I'm not saying it here. And if I've got to decide between whether we're cleaning up TxDOT property or whether we're cleaning up our parks, I'm going to pick the parks. And so, again, we're going from 7 days to 12 days. We're cleaning up litter less. It's gonna look bad, kids. It's going to look really bad. So, can we get the numbers yet?
We haven't got the numbers. I do want to address your issue of North Central Expressway. It is a separate contract from the City of Dallas, managed by TxDOT. We share your frustration. We meet with them often about the time that it's taking for them to first clear all of that dead vegetation and then reestablish some vegetation that is native to Texas.
So wait, are you telling me we're never going to spend this $3.2 million, even if we kept it this year? We're never going to spend that on Central Clean, Central Up? Central is always going to look bad?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that the contract that we currently have in place is for all of the TxDOT rights-of-ways within the City of Dallas, and until TxDOT completes Central Expressway, we exclude Central. It didn't make sense for us to have a contract for Central while it was in that condition. So when they restore it to its proper state, the city will then...
Well, why didn't we say that about every other piece of TxDOT property and say, well, until you restore it and make it look real good, we're not going to take it over? But we only do that on Central?
Central was a separate issue as we developed last year's budget. So, I mean, I'm just stating you what we talked about last budget year, that we didn't want to spend the money on Central. We wanted TxDOT to take out the dead vegetation, restore it to its appropriate level, and then we would pick it up. And that is our agreement.
And what's our timeline on that?
That's the time.
Central is getting more than the rest of them are getting, and I think they're behind on the timeline.
Well, Mayor, if you've looked at Central, you can see that it's not getting more than anything.
The Central agreement was made before we agreed with the tax increase to do this. So we let them alone with that because they were going to pull everything out and put other things in. They were going to put native plants.
Now, okay, I gotcha. So, my question is just this: what's the timeline? Because I've been told exactly what you're telling me for 12 months now. Okay. Well, I guess here's my take then. If this council thinks that we need to keep this $3.2 million in here, that this is important, then the only way I think we ought to do that is if we say, like we have for every other piece of TxDOT property, that we're going to take over Central 2 starting October 1.
But they agreed to put in plants and sculpture stuff, and we don't want to let them off.
I mean, okay, but when are they going to do that? If they've been planning that for 12 months.
Can I ask the chair of the Transportation Committee, do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I don't know when they're going to do that, and as I mentioned before, it's probably part of the state's balancing the budget process. But as you'll recall, and I think Judge Hill will recall, that we were very fortunate to receive a Green Ribbon grant from TxDOT for $1 million for that project, and that is why it's in a different category. As a matter of fact, we had negotiated vestibular history. We had negotiated in the Transportation Committee that contract. I think it was like a 3-year contract with maintenance and $1 million for the Green Ribbon program, and the city was going to pick up $100,000, I think, for a 3-year program for that, okay? And then when the budget session came along and the taxes were increased, you know, it was something that was negotiated separately, and now how it fits into that $7 million, I don't know. But the original thought from the Transportation Committee up until the very last minute was that the contract would be, I think, for 3 years, $100,000 for each year, and that they would, in return, give us $1 million Green Ribbon grant. And I do think that it would be interesting. My question would be, to find out the answer to your question, my question would be, have they released the $1 million grant? That really is probably where you'll find, track it back, that's probably where you'll find if there's a hold up or not.
Thank you. Go ahead. Is that it, Ms. Davis?
Thank you, and I'll be very, very quick.
Thank you.
I want to just say this. Forrest, can you come up? Because
I've gone down 35 off of Union. My auntie lived off of Union and Galloway and Denley and all in that area off Illinois. The company is BIO, isn't it?
Yes.
And I've seen them cut that area. I've seen it from starting from Ewan, and they're going all the way back to Redbird. Now, this the company has got a white truck, and they got the tractors and all that. I've seen them cut it. Have they cut it?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you get me copies and the council members of the days they cut in that area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because they have cut it. And it's BIO, that's the name of the company. And I want to make that clear because I know they cut it because there's a daycare over there that Pat Williams owned. And I had a neighborhood meeting over there and they was cutting it that day. So I've seen them cut that area. I just want to put that on the record. The other thing I want to ask, downtown, I've seen the same company cut at 75 underneath the expressway as you're going into 40 up to as you're going to 75. They have tractors cutting it. They didn't cut in that area as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I saw that one day. They was cutting there. Then I've also seen them cut going on 38 at Jim Miller, Peavy, going into Mesquite by Big Town. Do y'all go that far?
If it's a text out right away within the city of Dallas, we do perform that work. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So they have kind of cut all over the city.
There's 4,200 acres of text out rights of way within Dallas, and that is all in that contract except for Central Expressway.
Okay. And then, and the reason why is because we did something separate last year, right?
Yes, Ms. Coop referred to the separate agreement.
I understand.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Allen.
Parks.
Just want to verify real quick, because again, we're really talking in generalities a lot of times when we talk about mowing and stuff, because it's not a specific time, whether it's 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days. I suspect since July and August, there would have been, we just said maybe 7 days, so that would be eight mowings in July and August for each park. Again, no water. So I suspect you guys have not mowed those parks eight times in July and August. Is that true?
The mowing has reduced this summer for all, like Forrest said, and everywhere because of the dry conditions.
So you kind of eyeball it and then make your decisions based on, say, next year if we have a whole lot of rain, might make a difference, correct? The mayor, as we look at these things, again, I go back to what we show the citizens. Because we said last year, because we raised it $40 million in taxes, we wanted to tell the citizens what we were going to do with that money. And we monitored it the whole time. Right here, and it's on the website to look at, on park mowing, it says right here an average of 10 days. When we did the budget amendment, we said 7 we were going to do. But we've been telling citizens average of 10 days. So you're saying now maybe 10, 12, something like that for the coming year. Also, we said on the litter pickup, that it was on the amendments we did, we were going to do them 4 times a week. So out of 7 days, every 4 days, four out of 7 days, we're picking up litter. On the city's website, we're saying it's 4.5 times. So I think you're saying you're going to reduce it by 1/2 a day. So that'll put it at 4 days a week. It's what we raised taxes $1,580,000 last year just to do that. So you're putting it back to where we raised taxes last year to do. Along the lines of kind of my take on this thing is both of them are extremely important because it gets back to eventually the broken window syndrome. And if folks driving down those highways, driving into Dallas, whether it's North Dallas, South Dallas, West Dallas, East Dallas, and they see trash and they see weeds and stuff, then they're going to have more of a tendency to throw things out. But if it's clean, and such, and we keep these environments clean,
then I think people are going to have a take pride in where they're at. Behavioral patterns hopefully will improve. So from a volume standpoint, if you're just, again, I do not like to spend this money since it's estate money. But from a volume standpoint, you sure got a lot of people on those highways, more people on the highways than you do some of the other places. So that's just my two cents.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Grayson. Ms. Grayson.
One of the things that Mr. Griggs, Ms. Hunt, and I heard was that our current employees in the park department not only mow and pick up trash, but they also locate things that need fixing in the parks and that need replacement and repair. What we were advised is that when these contracts are given out for strictly mowing, those folks are not going to be checking things in the parks to see what needs to be fixed, replaced, or repaired. And so we're going to not get those things done the way they are currently being done. We're also saying in here that we're not going to replace park fixtures when they get broken. We're going to have less maintenance on our playgrounds. Our parks are going to look shabby. And I think one of the reasons that we increased the funding last time when we were only mowing every 14 days is you heard complaints from citizens saying our parks are not looking good. They're looking shabby. They're going to look even worse when these 70 people and these 70 positions are let go. And we don't have anybody reporting on what looks bad and what needs to be repaired in our parks. So I think that we're going to go back to hearing complaints from citizens because it is a big difference to go from 7 days to 12 days, as Ms. Hunt said. That's a big difference. And at a peak growing season, it's going to make a real significant difference, especially if we get a lot of rain next year. I'd also like to just clarify my comment about tourists. Actually, when I made that, I wasn't even talking about the highways. I was actually talking about how we water our downtown medians and plant flowers and things, and we don't do any of that watering and planting in our neighborhood parks. So I actually wasn't even talking about the highways. But I think this is really a tough issue because both of them are worthy to spend money on. But I think when the bottom line comes down to it, I think you want to do what's best for your neighborhoods, and maybe there's a disagreement about what's best for our neighborhoods. But a lot more parks are in our neighborhoods, so I would just urge you all, please, to give that great consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. And last but not least, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me first say, whose decision was it on Central Expressway, because Ms. Grayson was talking about Central Expressway, to in the first place, to put the plant in the medium on Central Expressway?
That was when it was reconstructed.
Yeah.
They decided they wanted to beautify that. Well, I think it was TxDOT.
And did they not, Mary, at one point throw that back in our lap? Wasn't that a discussion we had last year?
We had a rather long discussion about how to handle it and came up with the agreement they were currently operating under, and it was in the Transportation Committee and brought to y'all. But it was a fairly long discussion on how to deal with Central after they weren't able to keep up their original plantings and design.
They're not able to keep up with it. And my only concern is, one, let me be very clear. I want to make sure we retain any and all positions with Park and Rec and the City of Dallas. That is my passion, to make sure that we do everything we can to protect our employees. But separate from that, I also want to make sure that folks understand that I don't really trust TxDOT, and I don't believe in putting my constituency's faith into something through me that involves a third party that we cannot necessarily control, that they can make decisions at any point without even coming to us to say, well, because of this, we're going to cut back or we're going to cut out. They've done it that before, and it's just my position and opinion that it's better with me as far as what we can control versus someone that can control us, that we have no recourse as related to what their decisions may or may not be. So with that, I just want to make sure you know, I hate the fact that those dead plants are on Central Expressway. I think personally it should take every one of them out of at least the medium and do some other type of something that would take less maintenance, and I'm sure there may be some irrigation. I think it was a waste to first come in, and then it's a disservice to us to put it there
and then to half take care of it and leave that in our laps and in our sight. So with that, that's where I am there.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Yes, Mr. Cadet.
Could I just ask one thing?
Yeah, but this is short.
No, is there some way we could find funds somewhere else to do both of these projects? I mean, could we hold it until, would you guys withhold it and try to find funds from somewhere else?
I've given y'all all the funds I'm aware of, and we need to structure a budget.
These are two very important projects.
I recognize that.
And I would hate to see either one of them fail.
I know. I recognize that.
Okay.
If you've got an amendment. Okay.
We need to go back and find funds to do both of these. They're both very important projects to this city.
Well, I think Ms. Hunt did it the right way. She made the tough call. I mean, she wants this TxDOT, you know, right away, if I heard her correctly. She's just saying my preference is to spend that money here versus there. And I think
you think they're not doing a good job now on the highways, do away with all of it, you're going to see some filthy highways.
All right. Colleagues, it seems to me we've got three issues here. One is the role of TxDOT and what we can get out of them, what we can't, and the deal we've got with them. I hate to throw something in your lap, Ms. Hill, but it seems to me as we look at the intergovernmental affairs and lobbying efforts, that that's something we've got to wrestle through in some manner. But it is what it is, and so, excuse me. She said I'm giving you a hard task. My point is, I, as mayor, don't want to sit by and spend $3.2 million on something that the state should be spending money on. All right? So we've got to figure out how do we deal with Austin in the right way. I don't know what that is, but we need to deal with that issue. So that's one issue. Okay? Ms. Margolin said it, and I agree with that. By the way, everybody said, I could grab every piece of what everybody said, and I would agree with you all on different things, right? So the second issue to me is, are we getting effective money out of the $3.2 million that's in the budget? There have been folks that have said yes, and there have been folks that have said no, all right? My vote is that my perception is it's a lot better. I mean, the amount of lack of trash and throughout this city is fabulous. Now, the question is whether we should spend it or not is a fair discussion, and effectiveness is a part of that. You're going to get my sense of this thing. I want to make sure Southern Dallas looks great. We've got to have Southern Dallas looking great, or we're going to be in this spiral continually on this. The third issue is, let's just say we agreed that, you know, that's, we're not going to do that, which I think is a fair point, is what do you spend the money for? Once you save 3.2, or let's just say we cut it back a million, okay? We got $1 million, what do we spend it for? And now the question is it parks, is it putting back another furlough day, it's all the other different amendments. Barbara, I think we need to have real clarity, okay, on this 7 or 10 day issue, all right? I've heard too many, you answered Ms. Hunt directly here, I think Mr. Allen's point is fair, and it makes a big difference from going from 7 to 12 days versus 10 to 12 days. And I, being park board president, I understand the vagaries of this and how those were done, but you don't even need to respond now unless you've got an answer, okay, that's clear. But I think in the next 48 hours, we need an email sent around to us clarifying that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Because that's, everybody should know exactly what we're doing there. But anyway, those, I think, are the three issues in the way I'm looking through it. I think all of us want all those things, as Mr. Cadane says. So there's not a right or a wrong here. It's how we prioritize and make sure we take care of our citizens in the right way. I just wanted to couch it that way. All right, we've talked enough. We had a motion, and I think Mr. Griggs was a second. Is that fair on this amendment? A show of hands for a straw vote on this to approve this amendment. Okay. Those are opposed. Okay, it fails, and so we will not instruct Massoum to put the budget in this way. That being said, I still think we need to get the right data on this, because nobody, I don't think anybody around this horseshoe wants to go into a, what would that be, an 80%, 70% change in maintenance in our park. So let's clarify that. Okay, let's one last issue. Item number 7, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On this item, what it does, it cuts the overtime down in our dispatch department. All I'm trying to do is keep the scheduling the same as they've got from 24/72. The way it's put in here, it goes 12 on, 12 off, which I think would devastate a lot of our firemen down there. They're used to this schedule. By leaving it this way, it does not affect our doing the 8 minimum staffing and no minimum break time, which keeps the overtime down to where we want it. All we're doing is letting them continue with their current scheduling, and I think that's a fair situation for our firemen. I think it's kind of a life-changing event for them to change a schedule like that for the group down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Do we have a second? Okay. David. Okay, discussion? Miss? Ms. Hunt? That's fine. It's very good. I had one.
I was just curious, will this cost anything, Mary?
No. It's budget neutral, but it is not the schedule we're recommending to you.
Okay, but it's budget neutral.
Right. As far as I know right now, we haven't looked in depth at this structure, but it appears to be budget neutral.
And why do you not recommend it?
Because we've recommended to you the best schedule. I think that's what you hired us to do, was look at the scheduling. The negotiations around this, well, let me start back at the beginning. Y'all ask us, as we look at the budget, to be creative and to look for efficiencies, to look for effectiveness. That means change. And you've changed a lot of places. You've changed people's salaries. You've changed people's jobs. Some of them don't have jobs anymore. And this was a change that I understand people are upset about, a change. I get that. But it's also about providing service the most effective, efficient way we can. We've made that recommendation to you, and we believe we're doing that. Now, certainly, as 9 to 12 months go by, and we need to look at the schedule again, we can do that. We do that all the time when we initiate new things. But right now, this is our recommendation to you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hunt. Yes, Mr. Griggs.
Mary, just in a few seconds, I know you've answered this before, but what is ineffective and inefficient about the current schedule if this is budget neutral?
It creates, the current schedule has a lot of requirement for break time. That creates overtime. We don't need to be paying that overtime.
Yes, Ms. McCollum.
I think we as a council have to be clear about what is a management issue and what is a policy issue. And I feel very strongly that this is a management issue and that we should not be inserting ourselves into it. Thank you.
Ms. Grayson.
I heard from Mary that it was budget neutral, but then she just talked about overtime costs.
It was a different question.
Oh.
I was answering the question about why the changes that we're doing from what we have now to what we've recommended, because it reduces overtime costs. This is budget neutral, but I'm telling you, we have recommended to you what we think the most effective, efficient schedule is. The people that are involved in this, and there's not a lot of them, but those people are very concerned about the change. I understand that. Change is hard. But as I said before, you have asked a lot of city employees to change, and they have. And they've worked hard. And
comments? I agree with Ms. Margolin, City Council. We have to decide what we are going to do as a body. Do we set budgets and strategies and policy, or do we get into the details of the city manager's business? And sometimes you have to step back to do our jobs well, and otherwise we'll be getting into the scheduling of people all over City Hall. I think that's a very, very dangerous thing to do. So that would be my two cents. All right, let's have a kind of a hand, a show of hands to see. We had a motion, and Ms. Davis second for this amendment. All in favor, show of hands. Okay, we got four, including Ms. Davis. Okay. All opposed? Okay. Motion fails. Okay. So we've done this morning's work. It is now 11:12 a.m. September 19th. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda: legal issues regarding proposed resource flow control ordinance, Stacey Williams v. City of Dallas, Texas, City of Dallas v. Nakita Brooks et al., legal issues regarding proposed amendments to Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code. I don't know this. You said estimated time 30 minutes. I think it's going to be more than 30 minutes. Okay. And just for the record, this is all the public work media agenda items we have. So we will be coming back into session and adjourning after that the closed session. Thank you.